Hello and welcome to the third ever, well, I mean, officially the third ever Chimera podcast.
Yeah.
Who do we got? We got no one different here today.
We've all done this before.
Yeah, we've all been here. Let's go around and introduce who's here.
Who's here?
Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Nick, I'm here.
Brittany McCarthy.
I'm Brooke, and I'm also here.
Yeah, it's just us four today.
Yeah, no, small, condensed.
Yeah.
No special guests.
Concentrate. From Concentrate.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brett.
Fun size. This is a fun size podcast, guys. Okay. They're trying to breathe fire. Mm-hmm. For those of you listening, like,
we got a couple
Josh
of
later.
Yeah, we got a couple of torches in here, and they just swallowed fire, and so it's quite nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Our listeners consist of Josh in the future.
No.
And sometimes Cooper, if we're talking to the haters.
Yes, that's true.
So, we are in Victoria right now.
We are.
We're smack dab in the middle.
We're
kind
in
of,
a tiny basement in Victoria.
Yeah, we're kind of three quarters of the way through the festival, I think, at this point.
We're a couple days from going.
We've reached
four
end.
Of six.
Two-thirds. So we decided to do another podcast while we were here.
Yeah.
Brooke and I, as well as Cooper, got to interview...
Don't mention him.
We got to interview some of the girls and the sound designer, who's a male.
Sound designer, choreographer, and director of Damn Spot Theater's Weird Sisters.
Excellent show.
Since this won't be out by the time that show closes, don't go see it. But if you happen to be in the area of the Vancouver Fringe, they will be there.
They will be there, and go see them, because it's a really good show.
It's very good. It's a dance-based show based around Macbeth, mostly, but there's also some Hamlet and Julius Caesar thrown in there.
Yeah, Midsommar. There's a lot of theater. Tempest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Shakespeare.
There's a lot of lines from Midsommar and Tempest, but there's
the plot?
Yeah, the main storyline is Macbeth, Julius Caesar, and Hamlet, and it's very good.
Since we're releasing an entire segment based around that, I don't think we need to plug it anymore.
Not at all.
Yes, Britt?
That's all I had to say about that.
Okay.
One of the things I wanted to talk about is some of the... I don't know. Do we have any stories we want to get into? We can cut this out, but do we have any...
My roommate's a dick.
Yeah, no. What are you going to do with that guy? Mm. He's your roommate in Kamloops.
I'm pretty sure he's plotting to kill me, too, so...
Well, you might be. That's...
Share a bed with him. It makes it that much easier.
Then you jerk it out. Sorry.
Back to that. Tapestry, ladies and
strongly.
Gentlemen.
Strongly. Oh, yeah, thank you to all the people who emailed Tapestry to Brittany at ChimeraTheater.com.
All 50 of you. I was so impressed.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, Josh, again.
And Josh's family.
There's going to be like a really awkward audio cut in the middle of this because of that show.
We have like 30 seconds of usable footage.
So far.
Anyway... So we were talking about stories. I live alone, so I got nothing. What do you guys want to say?
Well, just...
I got some from today, but you can go ahead if you...
All right, well... Just when we got here, I was so incredibly not pleasantly surprised to find out that we have no room on the wings in our theater.
Yeah.
There is... And, like, that means there's four entrances that we can't use just because you're in that and people can see you. It's like... Oh, he's about to enter.
There he is.
That's kind of the problem I had with the run we did back in Kamloops, was that people were more paying attention to what was going on offstage because we did it in a tape set in a dance studio.
Yeah.
We're really high tech. We have a lot of
But
lot
we're pretty
money.
Lucky with the space that we got.
Oh, it's
super
like,
lucky.
Out of all the spaces available, I think we have the best one.
I think we adapted well.
I just think our show's really high maintenance.
From our rehearsal space to like our final like. Show space, like we adapted super well.
The theater
is
so much bigger than I feel Cooper ever told us it was going
to
be.
Well, that's why we have to work on our projection because we're so far away.
We're super lucky to be in that venue.
Yeah,
too,
and right? Honestly, I think that the theater that we got was honestly like a nice small step up from the dance studio we were rehearsing.
Yeah.
I'm just meant more that our show's really high maintenance. And it's like
no, that's true. And
fringe shows don't typically need a lot of room on the wings.
Yeah.
Or in the wings, I should say.
Mm-hmm. And they don't need
the
people
wings.
Running back and forth. And
they don't need technicians.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is very true.
Oh, God, that's psych, though. At the back, you can see a wave go. It's like a sail.
Is that what it's called?
Oh, I've just been calling it like...
I thought it had a different name.
Curtain?
No, it's called...
Oh, I've been calling it like a rear screen
projection. Is it a psych?
I think that's the name for it. That's the name for it at Sagebrush.
Oh, okay.
That's the name for it at
Pavilion. What's a scrim?
I learned something today.
Oh, that, scrim, that's the...
The brother scrim.
That's the black curtain, isn't it?
Oh my god, you're okay.
Did you just die?
I'm a very old woman and now my throat's getting out on me. I'm going to keep talking like this because I'm sure it's picking up well on the mic. But, isn't that the black... curtain in the back.
We all have like degrees, ladies and gentlemen.
This is my job. How do you think I feel?
I don't think I've ever heard that word before. Scrim? Other than scrimmage?
I know. Yeah, I mean, also is like rugby.
It's a small fight.
We're having a feat of scrimmage.
Yeah. It's a scrim.
A feat of scrimmage. No, I want to fight with you. I'm fighting words. And then they fight. Mm. And it'll be 25 minutes, and it'll be perfect for The Fringe.
Scrim.
Scrim the musical. The
Brothers podcast scrim. For a Fringe, and just, like, release audio, and that's all it is?
Untold Tales of the Brothers.
I'm sure people would eat that up.
I probably would.
Like, for dinner? Or?
Well, yeah, because it's usually evening shows. I mean, it's, like, dinner and a show. Why not just have the show for dinner, and people be like, would probably translate very well on the audio.
An audio and video format? Let's take away, not the video, but a visual.
Uh-huh.
Let's take away the visuals and just do audio. It's like a radio play that we paid to sit and listen to.
There's good examples of that. Charlie Kaufman wrote a one-act audio play called Hope Leaves the Theater that's really good.
Was it played in a theater?
Yeah. It was, what's her name? Hope Davis, Peter Dinklage, and Meryl Streep. Oh, and they're the three Dinklage. Actors. And it's really good. It's on YouTube if anyone wants to listen to it. It's very good.
I guess not. I want to listen to it.
Have you ever seen A Very Own Companion?
I haven't, but I need to. I really like Robert Altman.
It's basically that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
awesome. Yeah, and that was just the best cast imaginable. Meryl and John C. Reilly and Woody Harrelson.
John C. Reilly.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh my god. I've heard
Lindsay Lohan's in that.
Lindsay Lohan's her daughter. Or is he or her daughter or Lily Tomlin's?
Well,
we'll find out what I heard later. I haven't seen him in a long time. What?
I've heard that we'll cut all the stuff before that out so that it's just like me making a meaningful contribution. That Tommy Lee Jones, kind of a dick to work with.
Really?
You don't
want to work with him?
Just that people that he's like a douche to work with. This is all hearsay. So
well,
it
he's
could
just
be
supposed
wrong.
To, yeah, he's just supposed to be really like
demanding.
I haven't heard demanding so much as he is just really like keeps to himself
he doesn't
and
smile.
Really serious. Yeah. Well, I like the story I've heard about him was Jim Carrey talking about Batman Forever.
And oh god.
Their first meeting was him coming up to him and said, "I cannot tolerate your buffoonery."
Whoa. Nice to meet you.
That actually leads to a question I've wanted to ask people, especially people that are actors. Who would you rather be? Keanu Reeves or Ed Norton?
Ed Norton.
I'm a girl.
But you know what I'm talking about when I make the distinction between the two.
A dick or a nice guy?
Would you rather be talented and be known as kind of a douche?
Ed Norton seems to have mellowed out, though. Like, I've heard a whole bunch
he
of...
He played a douchebag
and
in Birdman.
He played a douchebag, but he's playing a douchebag in Birdman.
Yeah. It's probably, like...
He was really good at it, though.
Yeah.
So. He's a very, very talented actor,
yes.
I find.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Keanu Reeves, I honestly don't think he's as bad of an actor as... Like, I like...
Have you seen Dracula?
I haven't seen Dracula.
Maybe that's
I need to
watch.
See Dracula.
I haven't
but,
watched
that. Well, because I'm a big fan of half the cast. But I like he's good in My Own Private Idaho. I like
he's
him
not,
in Scanner Darkly.
He
like,
doesn't
he
have
good.
A range, but from what, again, this is all hearsay. From what I hear, he's like the nicest guy
oh,
to
yeah.
work with.
Apparently he's really good on stage, though. I remember reading about a production of Hamlet that he did, and he got critically praised for it.
See, I can't throw bullshit like I do with Josh, because he'll call me on it.
Oh, I'm not saying you're bullshitting. Like, I can say the same thing. Like, I've seen Speed, I've seen Matrix. I don't think he's terrible in either of those
no,
movies,
he's not,
but
he's just
he's
not
bland.
Bad, he's just very limited in what he can do.
Yeah.
But he's, like, the nicest guy ever.
Mm-hmm.
What
oh, yeah.
if he's listening?
Keanu Reeves. Keanu,
you're the nicest guy ever.
We're going to sit down and watch Point Break the second this podcast is over.
Wind Over the Mountains.
What about The Lake House?
You can watch The Lake House. I'll watch. We'll watch both and we'll get his range. We'll see action star Keanu Reeves and Bram Stoker's Dracula. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
We'll see accents.
Where we'll sit there and go, oh, Gary Oldman's on the screen again. Yay. Oh, look, now it's Tom Waits. Oh,
to be fair, I guess Winona Ryder's also not great.
It's... I've only seen bits and pieces of Dracula, so I can't fully commit to this statement, but it seems like Winona Ryder and Keanu Reeves are weirdly straining in that film, whereas, like, people like Gary Oldman and Anthony Hopkins and Tom Waits are just going so, so operatic and over. Like, they know it's supposed to be basically, like, silent film acting.
Anthony Hopkins is awesome.
Van Helsing!
You know what, we've already plugged him in an earlier podcast.
Oh, yeah, Coop met him. Did everyone know that? Didn't everyone know that Coop met Anthony Hopkins? He's met Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, that's probably the only time we'll ever hear it again.
Unless we mention it every podcast.
Don't quote me in front of me. That's weird.
Sorry. That was anyway. The hardest I've laughed in the last week, anyway.
Oh, thank you.
So we performed four shows now.
He's just going to ignore you.
I'm moving on.
Yeah.
We performed four times now, and mm-hmm. I think first show we had between 20 and 30 people.
That's fair to say, yeah.
Second show, I think, up around 50-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about,
but, yeah. Like, 50 of the most...
energetic.
Like,
it was a group of 50 engaged
people.
It was a group of people.
It was a group of Brits.
It was 50 people that acted like a group of 100 people.
Yeah, it was a group of 50 people that actively wanted to enjoy the show.
So much energy. Yeah. And that's not to say anything about
50 people doing that.
Oh, God. We'll have to leave it in so that our references to it make sense. Not to say anything bad about the first group, but they just... I don't know that they knew what they were coming to see. Or they were people who took a shot and it wasn't their cup of tea. Well, or they enjoyed it quietly, which is also a thing that happens.
Yeah, well, they did laugh here and there. I honestly think it was more just we still hadn't sorted out big things that need to be sorted out in that area.
We didn't hit moments the way we needed to.
Yeah, there's the toilet. There we go.
Yeah, see, that's it.
Flush number one for those of you keeping track at home.
For those of you with a tally mark.
I saw that first show as a... dress. It was like a dress rehearsal.
But it's still, like, people liked it. We got a review of the first show, and we got 3.5 out of 5, which isn't bad.
No, he said, and I talked to him later.
Oh, and it was so fair. Our performance, like, from what we gave, I thought 3.5
was a little generous, personally. Generous, that was the word that the mic didn't pick up. Thought it was a little generous, personally, but I'm like, that's probably a good review of our show as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I think on good nights, we push 4, maybe 4.5. On bad nights... 3.
Yeah, three things go wrong, whatever. You
know. I think it's still enough of a crowd pleaser that even on the first performance when we weren't maybe as on point as we could have been.
Yeah, we were still getting used to the space and we were still getting comfortable finding...
It was a good dress rehearsal.
Yeah. It felt like an invited dress.
And I think because of that, that's why the second performance went so well, because we knew we had to bust our ass to to engage the audience.
Well, it was also significantly bigger crowd, so that...
They were
that
a bigger crowd, they were more engaged. They've been
bigger and bigger every time.
They felt more comfortable speaking out and, you know, getting involved.
And I think we were just so much more on point. We hit all the moments we needed to that second night. I don't know, like, that was probably our best performance.
Tonight, our Thursday performance tonight was really strong as well. Like, we all hit our cues.
Well, so was the Sunday, so was the third performance.
Yeah, they were all very good.
I think that first one was a good dress. Mm-hmm. I think Brittany's right. It was a really pretty dress.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? I am right. Andrew?
Doing a message to the haters again?
Yeah.
What's with the G, Andrew G. Cooper? Did I spike it?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm going to do this more just to annoy Nick in the future.
God damn it.
And then he's going to be like, what is this big thing?
Oh, it's Brooke.
But every...
Oh my God, it's sausaging.
Oh my God, it's Brooke.
But every performance has been... Well, audiences Brooke. Have been bigger, and that just means that... Hours and hours of hand billing and word of mouth is good.
Well, and good pays off. Character choices too. Like Death is doing great things, especially social media wise.
Yes, so all those that are dying, you can thank
Death.
But like
Og is also
follow Death.
Og's a good song.
We got someone came up to us and said, "What you guys are doing, having a giant spoiler alert, having a giant walk in the streets is great. It's like you don't even need to talk to people. That's free advertising right there.
There you go, yeah.
Well, we've been lucky. I think a lot of that helps make our show stick out, not just the characters, but also, like, we've been talking about how this is more of an ensemble show than a lot of the stuff in Fringe. And it's also more of a family-friendly show than a lot of stuff in Fringe.
What, you mean Jizz Talk isn't a family-friendly show?
Pretending things are a cock? I know, it's so weird.
God is a Scottish drag.
Do I have to do everything my fucking self? It's like, why don't you give us Sperm a hint Wars. In the title?
That is actually a title of
all these are all titles
that are in this Fringe Festival.
All shows I don't think any of us have seen yet.
Nope.
Anyway.
Nope.
Anyway. What I'm trying to get to is it helps. Like, I feel like we got lucky with this year because we stand out more amongst this group.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some kids come and see us. There's a kid in the front row.
Yeah, there's a kid in the front row every single night.
That I gestured at for dwarves.
They like that. They like that bit.
That's a child.
Yeah.
And are terrified of Bearskin and Frau Trude. It's really quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day we're going to get Frau Trude right, guys. One day we're going to get that choreography right. I've been off every time.
Why is it wrong?
No, you guys are fine. It's me that's off.
Well, then you need to work on it.
Yeah, Brooke.
Keep saying, like, oh, Frau Trude was awful. It's like, I thought it was good.
Well, I mean, when all three of us are looking at her at different times when we're all supposed to do it in unison.
When?
Today.
What?
No, we didn't. Today we did it in perfect unison.
And the filthy air.
And every other performance we did in perfect unison.
Don't let him lie to you. Also...
This is the, like, pity party for Brooke this episode.
Yeah. Just changing it up. Usually it's Josh. I'm kidding.
Just because I say I work at hospitals and got it horribly, horribly wrong.
Do you actually work at a hospital?
No, that was one time.
Okay, Patch Adams, calm down.
That was one time. And then I run out of the room with bedpans on my feet.
And then your girlfriend dies. Look how upset. Have you ever seen Patch Adams?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I was also like 8, or however old I was when it came out.
You saw that in theaters?
I've never seen that movie.
No, I didn't see it in theaters. We rented it like very shortly after it came out on VHS. Yeah, that's how old I was.
I saw it like when I was 22. Like, it was recent, and I was like emotionally
First thing
scarred.
I remember seeing in theaters is Return of the Jedi.
Oh, the re-release, yeah. 1997 re-release.
I would have been 5.
Whew. The first movie I still have conscious memories of seeing in theaters was Disney's Hercules.
Mine was The Lion King.
I don't remember.
3.
I think that might have been the first one I saw,
maybe.
But it's not the first one I remember.
That probably doesn't make sense. Wait, when did it come out?
1994.
Oh, yeah. Then it must have not been The Lion King.
Wasn't it 95?
No,
it was advertising things in 95.
Pocahontas was 95.
Maybe, I don't know. I saw a Disney movie.
Pocahontas, starring Christian Bale.
Oh. What, did it?
Yeah.
He is who?
He's the...
He's John Smith's friend.
Yes,
he's
the...
Wow, that was
the boy.
Thomas.
That was a star-studded cast, apparently.
Mel
Gibson,
Christian Bale, others.
I did not know that Mel Gibson voiced John Smith until yesterday.
Really?
I was watching a... I'm going to plug Watch Mojo again. I was watching a top 10 video of just
celebrity voice actors. Yeah, yeah.
Like, cool. I had no idea.
I had
that
moment
so many times.
I remember when I was a kid and I saw Chicken Run and I kept wondering who the rooster was. And for a while, I thought it was Tim Allen. And I was shocked when I found out it was Mel Gibson.
That would have meant nothing to me, like, when I was little.
Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson, of course.
Mel Blanc? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Mel Blanc, see, that's a name that I know that I knew because, like, I watched Bugs Bunny all the time, and Looney Tunes, like, was my jam, and I learned pretty, like, early on, when I started to keep track of the names of actors and, like, who played what and who does what, really, that was, like, Mel Blanc was probably one of the earliest names of an actor that I started to keep track of.
I don't know who, mine might have been Robin Williams because
Blubber.
Mrs. Doubtfire, Flubber.
Or Flubber, yeah, sorry.
Did you say Blubber?
I think I did say Blubber, yeah, Flubber.
But Mrs. Doubtfire was a movie that I watched a million times, so I knew him. And then, there was Flubber and Jumanji and so...
And Michael Jordan in Space Jam.
Yeah!
Michael Jordan and Bill Murray in Space Jam.
Yeah.
I didn't know Bill Murray.
Bill Murray was another one, yeah.
I knew Bill Murray. I knew Bill Murray because my dad was a huge SNL fan.
Because of Space Jam, I thought Bill Murray was Dan Aykroyd for the longest time.
Because of the joke. When did we get Dan Aykroyd in this movie?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray in Osmosis Jones.
First actor I ever paid attention to was Andy Garcia, because I thought he was my friend's dad. Because my friend's last name was Garcia also.
Mm.
And yeah. This was when I was like six,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, my first actor the first time I became conscious of an actor, I think, was Brendan Fraser, so.
Oh, yeah.
Because of George of the Jungle, I saw Dudley Do-Right, and I remember seeing ads for Blast from the Past, and I mentioned this on the last podcast, but that was around the time my mom explained to me what an actor was, and I was like, how did George of the Jungle get short hair, and now he's in the future?
Oh, man, I was so confused by movies, because if they died, I'd be like...
Are they dead? You liked Roman theater then? Where they actually killed them?
No, but I thought, and then you see them in another movie and you're like, was this film before?
Like, I remember there's the great story of, like, 19th century France when movies started debuting, and there's that Arrival at the Train Station movie where the train's coming towards the camera, and everyone, when that film debuted, everyone ducked in their seats because they thought the train was going to come straight at them. So it's common.
Yeah, it happens when you're starting. One of my nieces, I was watching Revenge of the Sith with her, and, lucky her, huh?
As long as she's seen the others.
So we were watching that, and I pointed out to her that Christopher Lee was also in Lord of the Rings, which she'd also seen. She was like, because there's a point where he gets his head cut off in Revenge of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, then how did he do that? Did he just put his head in his sleeve or something?
He did it. Did it. Blew it. Fondue it. Screw it.
Sorry.
We like Game Grumps, those who are listening.
Shout out to future Josh. So Game Grumps, if you could return the favor, and we'll be expecting a check any day after this is released.
And if you repay the favor, we'll sing the Steam Train song on our next episode.
So our show has been reviewed twice. We talked about the 3.5 stars. Really fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the issues that he talked about were some cues were missed.
Which is fair.
We did miss some stuff, but I wonder if some of the other stuff, in addition to the actual miscues, there's like fake miscues that are scripted.
Yeah, there's a lot
because we're actors playing actors. I wonder if that, because of all the other real missed cues, if those fake ones looked like they were real.
Mm. There's a lot of play within play jokes in our show, so, and I feel like both reviews have sort of gotten, like, sort of confused which ones are genuine and which one are we planned.
I didn't see that in the second one, but...
Oh, I think there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, and then the second one, he talked about the script being a tad bit long, which I guess he got...
Yeah, well, he criticized your character... Yeah.
He thought you were just like wrapping it up because we were running out of time.
He thought I was going quick, yeah.
But
because
that's actually stage directions, and you're supposed to get.
Is there a longer one than the one I read, or?
There's a 3.5 star one and there's a 3-star one.
No. I've read both of them, but I don't remember any of this being mentioned. It was
he talked about the script. He said it was too long, was too much. And
he did mention that the last one was rushed because
it looked like it was running out of time, because, so we had to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's intentional.
No, yeah.
Not very
but often. It's stuff like that you can't be like critic.
Mm-hmm. He can't hold a grudge.
He should also be the one that gets it though, if you're a critic.
Not always.
I'm joking, but.
Yeah.
Okay, cut all those noises out.
No.
And according to our billet, he's the one that we wanted to get reviewed by because he's
gets read a lot.
Yeah, he's the one that gets
the second
read.
One.
Yeah, yeah, the second one.
Apparently, he's really well. Like, we didn't even finish his name, and she knew exactly who we were talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he's well known. He writes for a paper. So, it's the one that's going to be read the most if people are going to Fringe.
But we have, it's not like we got a bad, we got
he trashed some other...
He did. Yeah. He tore some of
yeah.
up, but...
Well, he trashed other shows that people that we know that saw it loved.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave it a 1, and I was like, oh my god, shots fired.
Like, people that we know saw it and said that it was an amazing show, one of the best that they'd ever seen.
Great piece of theater,
You saw it?
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was mad when I read that. yeah. that review.
Well, and that just goes to show that reviews are all one person's opinion.
It really is, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I just, it felt like we saw, him and I saw different shows because the show that I saw, it was poetic, it was awesome and like really touching. And I thought that, I don't know, I was just like, TJ and I were both mad.
Well, it just shows that you can't please everyone, and there's going to be some people that don't get it. Like, I'm sure there's people, like, overall our show is a big crowd pleaser, but I'm sure there's, like, one person a little bit that are just kind of like, okay, that was okay.
It's just that it was unfortunate that he didn't have anything nice to say about that show whatsoever. He didn't see what I read in the review. I didn't see
Well, he gave it a one.
Yeah,
one. Like, I feel like he gave it the lowest he could.
I didn't see any compliments whatsoever.
Everyone has a style that they prefer.
Yeah.
Because, like, Camel, he also gave 2 out of 5, and I've heard nothing but good things about Camel.
But then he gave Weird Sisters a 4. I mean, yeah, a 4, and that one's not traditional theater. Like,
no, I'm just saying that it is. Mm-hmm.
But I feel Weird Sisters is also accessible. Like, I'm not someone who's really into like movement based stuff, but I really enjoyed it. But it had like the Shakespeare pull to it that made me more interested. Yeah. So I can understand that.
Maybe that's why he liked ours, because like Shakespeare.
Shakespeare and Goethe references.
God.
I think what it comes down to is, honestly, you need to take criticism not like with a grain. You need to listen to it, but you also need to take it with a grain of salt. You can't just act like one opinion is the end all be all. Exactly. You need to have a good gauge of how other people are seeing it, and you also need to have a good gauge of how you felt about it. And even this goes for any. This doesn't even have to go for the play that you're working on. It can go for any play.
Well, and you have to know what kind of play that person usually likes.
Sure,
if they're reviewing.
Well,
there's styles that there are certain critics like better than others.
But when you're reviewing all like theater, like, you tomatoes. Should like it. But I don't like that mentality, though, where it's like, I like everything but this. It's like, well, you're reviewing everything, including that. You should have, like, there should be good examples of that.
Well, it's just like anything in life. Like, professors, they're gonna like a certain type of essay better than another. It doesn't, well, I mean, one could be better than the other, but
yeah.
Two different styles doesn't necessarily mean that one's better, but the professor might like this style better than this style.
Mm-hmm. Actually, using the professor example, that's another thing I like about reviews, is good or bad, they're always something to learn from. Like,
exactly.
Usually, like, I'd like to think that most critics try to go into shows with an open mind and at least try to find, like, something that, if it's going to be negative, it should be at least a little bit constructive, or at least give the audience or the performer a sense of what that person got out of it and what they can expect. How do I word this? What they can do for the performer, they should get an idea of what they can do differently next time, and for the audience, it should give them an idea of what they're getting into. Good, whether the review is good or bad, it should give the audience an idea of whether or not they might still enjoy it.
Right. Mm.
Yeah. And actually, his criticisms of us were completely fair.
Mm-hmm.
That the script is a little long, because I find a lot of the shows, the time they give is, like, the max. Like, if it goes as slowly as it's ever gone,
yeah,
it'll be 55 minutes. With us, we're 75 minutes every time.
Yeah.
Sometimes more, depending on how applausy audience
true.
Is. But,
it's different.
Yeah, it was long, and we did have some projection issues, I'm sure, that I think we fixed, because I think all of our voices are gone.
As you could slowly hear from me earlier, if we didn't cut that part out.
We became old men. But yeah, I thought both reviews were fair.
Mm-hmm.
Solid, yeah.
And
it's not like they're slandering us. Like, we're getting good...
Exactly, we haven't been affected.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's taken a toll on our box office sales. We've had bigger houses every night. So.
Oh, and you also have to go by... Did the audience enjoy it too?
Yeah, well, that's what I was talking about, is you should get a gauge of how the group feels about it, and not just one man's opinion.
That guy came on Sunday when there was, like, what, 60, 70 people that loved it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So even if he hated it, it's like, well, that's one out of 60, 70.
Yeah.
But, you know, you gotta go.
And then
you
just
learn.
Put, like, an age that kids should actually be able to come see this. Because we have been,
that was smart.
And I think that is something that, when you get, like, because we kind of advertise
we
it as a children's show.
For kids.
Where it's for everyone. It's like, but then...
Oh, did he? I missed that part. Did he mention, like, the
he said
Frau
that
Trude?
Eight? No, he just said that, like, when it says that it's recommended for every, all ages or whatever, he's like, he mentioned something about, like,
it's
appropriate.
Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't give a reason? He just said...
I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm not...
Like,
you Frau Trude.
Yeah, I guess that's fair, because there are scary, like...
Adult.
Well, and it's just long,
references.
Too.
Yeah,
right?
I was
and
thinking
it's a lot of... It's not, like... Hey kids, we're gonna play this now. It's more it's for kids because we don't swear, we don't do anything, but it's also for the adults because we do a lot of talking.
It's G-rated in the same way 2001 A Space Odyssey is rated G. You can, in theory, bring your kids to it, but...
They may not appreciate, like, the kids might not appreciate, like, some of the family quarrels or, like, the, you know...
Exactly, they might get bored with that, and I didn't even think about it.
There's some stuff that goes above the kids' heads, but...
We'll get it, but, like, some... Yeah, your 4 or 5-year-old is...
But, yeah, when you say it's kid-friendly, they're like, okay, I'll bring my 6-year-old. It's not, like, Rivertown
or Bird Brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, I... When I talk, I say it's child-friendly, not child-oriented. You can bring them, and there will be jokes for them too.
Totally,
there's slapstick. We do a lot of physical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I dress up as a woman.
Do you have the? Speaking of which, no, actually, this is a new thought. Do you have the die with you?
I do have the die.
Speaking of which,
oh yeah, that reminds me.
So our show's great. Up like a woman.
And I think what Nick is hinting at is moving on
to some questions.
Enter the 36 questions.
Enter the 36 questions.
Or enter the 34 questions and 2 commands.
Watch that kid.
All right.
Okay, if we get the same questions, are we answering them?
Sure.
Okay.
Depends on the question.
Yeah.
Okay,
we can veto it if we want, I guess.
6-1
Oh, it's the pudding song.
Create a song about pudding.
This is the second.
You've already done it, so re-roll.
Unless you want to create a new.
Unless you get
3.
No. If you're still in
2.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
What is the funniest thing that happened to you recently?
Could be from the festival if you want.
He's like, nothing.
Well, I live alone and no one talks to me.
Get out.
Yeah.
We said funny, not depressing.
Well, now they know both. Funniest thing.
Might need to shorten up this.
Well, I want a good one. Yeah. The first thing that's coming to mind for some reason is there's a meme that's been going around this group. Which one of our assistant director, TJ McCallum, took a vine of himself videotaping a pinwheel and yelling, "Oh my god, it spins!" And that's created a lot of really good jokes among us.
Just running down the street at different guys. Oh my god, it spins!
And we've been doing that for the past week. And it makes me. Yeah. It makes
just
me.
Things
laugh.
That rhyme with.
Like the every dishwasher. Time. Oh my god, it's rinse!
You're in the car and the radio's on and MGMT starts playing. You're like, oh my god, it's kids!
Or you go whale watching and you see whales. Oh my god, it's fins!
And you're sitting there, you're watching The Emperor's New Groove and Patrick Waterburn shows up and you're like, oh my god, it's Kronk! So that it's brought on stuff like that, and it makes me laugh every time when Dove's Cry starts playing on the radio, and you're like, "Oh my God, it's Prince!" That makes me laugh for some reason. I don't know if I'd say this is the funniest, but this makes me smile every single time I think about it. Again, TJ McCallum, our assistant director, bought a greatest hit CD of No Doubt. And when he was playing it for the first time, our director, who we have talked about several times, Andrew Cooper. He was sitting there listening to the CD, and I think it was like in the middle of Just a Girl or something, and he was just like, hold on, did this band, and TJ is going like, keep going, finish the thought, go on to create a solo artist named Gwen Stefani?
Oh my god. Was he serious?
He was dead serious, but it was just how slowly he came to that realization. And what I couldn't act out in that moment was TJ sitting by his side, like, talking him through it, like, keep going, yeah. What are you gonna say? So
guiding a 6-year-old.
Oh my god.
It makes me happy.
God, he did grow up Mormon.
I did not know that either at the time, and I was there, oh my god, is that true? Like, I remember I was almost flabbergasted as Cooper was.
I wasn't there, but I knew
we
that.
We figured that out.
Oh, I knew before it was cool. I knew about because Love Angel Music Baby was such a huge thing, and I was like, No Doubt Girl!
Yeah, and I think like, they was interesting. No Doubt, Gwen Stefani!
That's awesome.
Okay.
Alright, next question.
Those are my 2 things.
Right. Oh my god, it spins!
Alright, go, Nick.
Oh my god, it spins. Okay. One and five.
What song best describes your sex life?
Oh, Jesus.
And it's on
And it's coming on. We gotta get right back to where we started from. Love is good. Love can be strong. We gotta get right back to where we started from.
Lightning.
Do you remember that day?
Sunny day.
When you first came my way.
See, that's another thing that's been happening in the group a lot.
Yeah. All right, it's Nick's turn to talk.
That's okay, because I'm trying to think anyway. What song best describes my sex life? Give me more.
Give me more.
I don't know. Let's go with that.
All right. That's great.
Why? No, why?
Why? Oh, yeah, okay. Why? Because I'm a dog. I don't know.
So his runner-up choice was I Want to Be Your Dog.
Yeah. I'm just a girl.
Or the lines from Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Oobin, Gleebin, Globin, Globin?
No, after that.
Oh, okay.
Give It to Me, Baby.
Uh-huh.
Give It to Me, Baby.
I Know You Want to Hit That, or also by The Offspring.
Eatin' Ain't Cheatin' by Steel Panther.
Your Are Love by Outfield.
I just know Steel Panther for that Kelly Clarkson video they have.
Or Hot Potato by The Wiggles. Okay. Right. Ritters.
Okay.
Peanut Butter Sandwich by Raffi.
Six.
Okay.
One.
Six and one.
This stupid movie.
No. We're not creating any more songs about pudding.
Yes.
Six. Three.
If you were a penguin, what would you do? Hold on. Did Nick create all of these questions? I hope the mic picked up that squeak.
I think it did.
I think only dogs heard that one.
If I were
all the dogs ever at our door right now.
If I were a penguin, what would I do?
What would you do?
I would try to figure out the science behind why we can't fly.
Scientist penguin.
It's legitimate.
Just see her in a classroom. It's so hard to use this chalk with these flippers.
You'd already be wearing
if
your
only
tuxedo.
I could fly.
You'd already be wearing your tuxedo when you present your findings. Yeah.
You would have like some 6 foot tall guy who only stands, whose only job is to stand there and like write stuff out that you dictate.
Yeah. A scribe.
Jim Carrey's just over there.
Oh.
Oh, Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Thank you.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Lent his voice to your presentation.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
You just start
but
marching.
You try to figure out the science of why. Yeah. Why can't penguins fly?
I would figure out why.
What do you think right now off the top of your head? Why do you think
they can't fly?
Because they keep drinking.
Because they're, I don't know, I feel, because like their arms are their arms, are they wings?
I'd say flippers.
Flippers. It's.
I feel like they're so heavy and like they can't,
yeah.
Like their body is
they're
just.
Waterlogged.
Yeah, yeah, like I feel like they can't move them very quickly. I don't know.
They just weren't meant to.
Yeah, but that's
some
stupid because they have wings and feathers. They're born with feathers. I don't know if they still... They must have feathers.
Yeah,
they're a
bird. They do, yeah. That's like... I mean, they have soft feathers underneath.
Like soft feathers.
Keep their
they're
eggs.
Almost like down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For the like underneath them to
plus,
set on their eggs
and
stuff.
Would
plus probably
the
blubber
ocean.
Just to keep them
because
warm.
Yeah,
sharp.
Keep them in there.
They have like
eggs.
Interesting blubber on the bottom of them that like can wrap around an egg when they're just, you know.
Oh, you
on
saw
it.
March of the Penguins too?
I did.
Yeah.
Great movie.
It's so sad watching them try to like switch the egg over.
Yeah.
Because if they make
a
mistake and leave it on the ground
it
for
really
more than 10 seconds, the egg
it's done.
Dies.
Game over. Yeah.
Yeah. Game it's, over, man. Game over.
No retries.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Penguins.
I'd figure out why I can't fly. Yeah.
And that's how Morgan Freeman would narrate it. They left their egg on the ground. Game over, man. Game over.
And a Dufresne. The only man who
left his egg.
He sounded
a little like Ian McDermott.
Do it.
And a Dufresne the penguin.
Okay. All right.
Crawled through 6 miles of shit.
And emerged on the other side.
And clean.
Five.
Would
you want to redo that?
What'd you get?
Yeah, okay. One. I think I get to answer
five
again.
Five and one?
What Harry Potter house would you be in?
Ravenclaw. Who's next?
You have to tell that joke.
Oh, God.
We found a thing.
So, if you guys listened to the last podcast, this is also for Nick, who doesn't know this. We talked about how those sorting quizzes are complete bullshit.
They are.
And so we saw a joke about that on like a BuzzFeed list, list of Harry Potter Tumblr posts. And it's like, the generic Harry Potter sorting quiz is like this. Question. How do you brush your teeth? Do you brush them A, bravely, B, while eating a sandwich, C, while reading a book, or D, I'm a snake?
Was that on Clickable?
What?
I think it was BuzzFeed, but it could have been a lot of... Someone posted on their Facebook, and I'm like, oh, that looks like it'll be funny for a little bit.
So good.
Bravely.
I just love...
With bravery.
I'm a snake.
I will brush my teeth.
How do you brush
the police are here.
So, how do you brush
Alan Corbishley is a Gryffindor.
I heard some complaints about loud noises. Police are here.
Bravely.
Bravely? While reading a book. Well,
I'm a snake.
Eating a sandwich.
I am a snake.
Okay, so honestly, what would your house be?
Okay, and why? Tell us why. Just goes.
Probably Hufflepuff.
Wow.
Because I'm not brave. I'm not smart. I'm not evil. I'm kind of just a stoner. But I don't smoke weed.
You're miscellaneous.
Yeah, I'm other. I'm sort of like lost and found. I don't know. That's really what Hufflepuff is just the lost and found children. Hufflepuff with mismatched clothes.
It's to be determined.
They have their own shop at Diagon Alley. It's just nothing matches.
It's for the nice people.
They have like an ankle sock.
And they're animals.
And like Lederhosen.
They're animals like a badger.
They're the house elves of the Gryffindor system. of the Hogwarts system. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. Where's their like common room too?
It's right by the kitchen.
Right next to the kitchen.
It's like close by.
Oh yeah.
Because that's where
map. There's a clear map to and from and.
Yeah, another one of those posts was talking about how Hufflepuff was the stoner house. Like, they're right next to the kitchen. And, I mean, Cedric Diggory figuring out how to open his egg underwater. You wouldn't try that unless you were blazed out of your mind. But also, like, look at Robert Pattinson. He's got red-rimmed eyes anyway. So he looks so... okay, so...
He's just a nice guy.
Twilight. And then he did Twilight. What a douche.
Whatever, he made lots of money doing
it. I'm sure he did.
Team Cedric.
And now he works with David Cronenberg, so it's all balanced out. All is good in the world.
I'm sure he's talented. It's just like, you gotta choose right.
I thought he was good in Water for Elephants.
Yeah.
I didn't see him in...
That's a really sad movie.
I haven't seen the movie, but I heard he's really good in The Rover.
I just feel like Harry Potter and Twilight didn't ask for a lot out of him, so he... really give a lot.
Yeah, Harry Potter was kind
maybe of he wasn't challenged enough.
He was just supposed to be attractive guy.
Well, I think Harry Potter was more just he's supposed to show the danger of the situation. That's it. He's Sam Rockwell in Galaxy Quest. He's the guy who gets killed to show how serious the situation is.
Yeah. There you go.
Wait! Don't open that! It's an alien planet! Is there air? You don't know!
Galaxy Quest is Brooke's favorite movie.
Oh my god.
2005?
Galaxy Quest?
Wait, when
was it? You gotta go before one of those things kills Guy.
When did that come out?
Galaxy Quest, 1999.
I'll do my hands 99. Like this. Cool. What are you, an infant? We have these.
Alan Rickman's in it. Like, it's got a whole bunch of people. Yeah. Sigourney Weaver.
Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, yeah,
it's been years. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. The main thing I even remember is when they tried testing out that teleportation thing on that pig monster, and it just turns inside out and explodes.
Yeah.
And it exploded.
Exploded.
It's I'm really good. You're like it. Yeah,
it's just got so many
Alan
different
Rickman, I'm sold.
Levels of comedy.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like us where they're actors on like a Star Trek show. So it's really funny.
Another one that I
Untold Tales of the Brothers Grimm, in fact.
Yeah.
About actors on a Star Trek show.
Yeah. Tropic Thunder came to mind right away too, because it's like about the world of actors and Hollywood.
It is very similar.
Yeah.
More foul mouthed, but it's got a similar theme.
More foul mouthed than Tropic Thunder?
No, Tropic Thunder's more.
Oh, I was like
It's friendly for kids, right? It's friendly, not oriented.
Yeah. 14A.
It's got weird killer aliens that look like babies but have really sharp teeth. Yeah. Scared 6-year-old Josh.
Greg Knack.
Alan Rickman, though, man. He's up there for me.
You broke the ship. You broke the bloody ship. We'll watch it one time, Nick.
All right.
I think it's a movie you would love.
Sure.
Anyways, speaking of things that we all love, theater. So we've talked about our show quite a bit, but does anyone want to talk about shows that they've seen here that they really liked? Or,
well, I think we've promoted Weird Sisters all we need to.
We talked about Bear Dreams.
I think we promoted that in our own weird way. I just got shot. So, Josh, you've seen quite a few.
Yep.
Which one was your favorite so far?
Oh my gosh. Well, I haven't had a clear favorite yet. I haven't walked out of anything thinking it was great.
Oh, okay. Like in the middle of it. I haven't just left.
I haven't gotten out and left. I don't like theater. Yet. I love theater.
You go to the front people. No, you don't understand. I don't want my money going to these people.
The artist button, please. The ones that I've really liked, I really liked Woman with Horns.
Mm.
And I feel like I haven't heard a whole lot of people talk about that one. I haven't heard a whole lot of people, like...
That's a short one, isn't it?
It's 25 minutes. It's very, very good. It's titled An Allegory in Two Scenes, which is what it is. Mm. It's very good. It's, I saw it with Megan and Lena, and we were both talking about afterwards how... It's one of those shows that's just vague enough. You can sort of view it as a metaphor of any type of discrimination that you want. And it's kind of... Like, we came out of it, like, we all came out of it talking about how it reminded us about immigration politics and prostitution. It's really... I don't feel like I'm selling it that well, but it's very good. The lead actress is very good. That's one of my favorite performances I've seen so far at The Fringe.
Yeah. What That's one that we were going to see, but then...
Mm-hmm. My car
wouldn't start.
Oh, yeah. Difficulties.
But we talked to that guy at the preview, and he was, like, the nicest guy.
He's a really great guy.
Oh, yeah.
He stayed for our preview. He stayed for a little bit.
He seemed like They both actually came out into the audience and talked to everyone afterwards. They both seemed like really cool people.
Yeah. That's great. It's been a common theme after every show I've seen is that they've had a little closing.
They've had a little bit, but these guys like actually came out and had one-on-one discussions with us.
Cool.
It's a good thing we haven't done that just because we don't have any.
Yeah. We don't have any time.
Samakutra is probably the most entertaining show I've seen so far at The Fringe. It's a clowning show about a married couple trying to bring some spice back into their love life. And that one's very, very, very broad, but very entertaining.
Kind of similar to your Deepfish show.
A little bit, actually. I was thinking about that. But yeah, Birdman's really good. It's been selling out every single performance for a reason. Wow. It's incredibly entertaining. It's very smart. It's about... I don't really know how to describe it. It's a one-man... It's basically a monologue, but it has... There's an overriding... There's a loose... plot behind it with an overriding theme of dealing with loneliness that I really, really liked. And it's very, very funny.
Cool.
And I also really enjoyed The Honeymoon Period is Officially Over, which
I've heard really good
is people. Also selling out every single performance.
Wow.
Birdman and Honeymoon Period is Officially Over are two of those shows that you have to get there like right when they start selling.
God is a Scottish Drag Queen
is another one.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that one because that one keeps selling out.
It's awesome.
But yeah, Honeymoon Period is Officially Over is really good. It's a one-woman show. Another one about... It's one person playing 20 different characters, and it focuses on this couple as they reach a point in their relationship where they're about to break up. Then, in order to save it, they get married, and then the consequences that come with that decision. And it's very, very smart. It's probably my favorite of The Fringe. It's, what was I going to say with this? It's the closest I've come to full-on loving a show. There's a few moments that I thought was a bit fillery or stuff that I felt like was just there almost as a means for the performer to show off her diversity. But other than that, I had a lot of fun with it.
So, like, our show?
But no, it's very good. My complaint there about showing off is very, very minor. And there was only a couple of times where I was consciously thinking it. And that's probably the best female performance I've seen so far. It's... Her ability to play male characters is really quite impressive.
You said that about Woman with Horns, too.
I said one of my favorites. I'm saying this is probably my absolute favorite.
Okay.
Because one of the things that I noticed, because she plays a lot of male characters, like I said, but what's great is that she doesn't do... I don't know, whenever I see an actor trying to play a member of the opposite sex, they always have to, like, make it noticeable, like, men talk like this when they are a woman. And, like, girls are way down here, and they have to look around, and they scratch themselves and all that. But hers, it was very, very simple. She gave... Whenever she played a male character, it would be, like... It was mostly physicality, and she would focus on, like, doing something with her back. Like, straightening up for the husband character, and then, like, slouching a little bit for the uncle character. Mm-hmm. And it was very subtle, and it was very good. And she had just... Whenever she changed her voice from character to character, it was just enough of a change where you could tell which character was at each moment. I think there was only one scene where I was confused about who it was who, and that was just because she was introducing a new character rather abruptly. So, very, very good.
That's awesome.
What about you, Nick?
One show sprung to my mind immediately when you asked. It was a show called Trampoline. Have you guys, any of you guys seen Trampoline?
Not yet. No, I remember seeing a different show at the time.
It's an awesome little, it's an awesome little romantic comedy, I would put it, about this guy who has trouble with dreams, and he has this, I guess would call it a condition. I don't remember how they categorized it, but it's basically where 85% of his sleep when he's sleeping at night is REM, is when he's in a dreaming state. So that causes him to have like super vivid dreams. And then he often in his waking life, he often can't tell the difference between fiction and reality. So like when he's dreaming or when he's not dreaming really, he meets this girl and it's about their relationship and how he grows with her. And then, it's him trying to figure out how to open up about his dreams and, like, his problems that he's having with other people. So it's really quite a cool little show. And, like, the music that they that they chose in it was really, really quite fitting. It was very well-chosen pieces of music. And also I want to note the awesomeness of the originality in music, too, because... there was a couple points during the show where they had awesome little duets together. He would be playing guitar and she'd be bouncing on the trampoline that'd be in the middle of the stage. And it's just like, it was an awesome, like, cutesy little show. And it was such entertainment to watch. It was really cool. It was really quite awesome. Nice. It's probably my favorite show so far. Cool. So go see Trampoline.
Trampoline!
And us, it's pretty well documented. We haven't seen too many shows. I think we've only seen four of them. So, What was our favorite?
I don't really have a show that I left being like, everyone must see this right now. Like, or you haven't lived properly. Like,
I haven't either. But
no,
But you just don't deal with stimulus in that way. I feel.
No, I do.
Have you ever walked out of a movie going, this is life-changing, you need to see it right now?
Yeah.
Which one?
First time I saw Eternal Sunshine.
Fair enough.
Anyway, sorry.
You guys are such nerds.
Keep going.
We're
just saying it's fair that you say that.
I've seen stuff before that I'm like, oh, I must, like, tell your friends about. And this one, so far, we saw Sid the Handsome Bum. And I was thrown off because the whole time I thought it was going to be a guy, and it was actually a female actor. Because
we kept running into the guy,
and he kept
promoting it.
Yeah, and then
Sid, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's that guy.
And so she comes out on stage, and it's just a one woman show, and she's Sid the Handsome Bum, and I thought she did a really, really good job. She was able to distinguish five characters. I was able to tell who she was every time. But I mean, like, there were parts that, like, the structure of it was kind of weird and it threw me out of it a few times. But she did great. She was so good. And they're from Vancouver, and so there was a lot of, like, Vancouver homeless references that I didn't get. So I was kind of like, oh, I don't know that reference. But I got the East Hastings one. That was something.
I think the thing was we didn't fully get the structure.
Yep.
Or agree with how the structure was framed.
not multi-narrative. Is it like fractured narrative sort of thing?
Was it Splice of Life?
Really a narrative.
Oh, okay. Oh, is it? Oh, I guess it's a monologue type of show.
It's sort of a one-woman show, oh, okay. And she.
And but like I think that was the point. It was very fractured, mm-hmm. And I think that's what I said is that it's kind of the point that we're not supposed to get it. Well, but at the same time, it got confusing.
She came out on stage, and then she starts talking to you. So I took on the role of a homeless person. I was like, okay, we're homeless. Like she's telling me her life story. I'm listening, and then. The guy who we thought was actually Sid, like with the guy who kept promoting the show, I guess he maybe directed it or something. Or wrote it. Yeah, mm-hmm. He ran out and was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, we're experiencing technical difficulties, and the act will start soon." And then he left. And then she realized that she was on a stage and she was performing in a theater. And then all of a sudden, I was confused because I was like, "Oh wait, now I'm an audience member. I'm not a character anymore." And then it just. And then he came back out again, and then she thought he was someone she knew. It was really, and he was like, "No, you don't know me." And then he left again, and I was like,
"Interesting."
What it was, but it just really confused me. And one woman, when he comes out and he introduces, he's like, "Okay, like we're having technical difficulties for this one show," and it was not called Sid the Handsome Bum. Mm-hmm. And then, like, some old woman was like, "I have tickets, and it says for Sid the Handsome Bum." And he was like, "Oh, well, they've changed it last minute." And then he left, and I was like, what? So, like...
I figured that was part of the show. I just didn't know how it was gonna...
Yeah. Well, that kind of sounds like...
Well, yeah, but, like, I don't think the older people come. I think they were actually like, "Wait a second, I thought we were seeing this handsome
bum." So they left.
They were about to riot.
She was in the front row, too. It was really funny, but...
She threw walkers at the stage.
but
she
it
couldn't
was...
leave. Or tried.
It was good. Like she did really, really well, but I just the whole structure of it was really awful.
Sorry, I should be closer to the mic. I was lying back on the bed. And do you want to talk about the other ones we saw?
Yeah, we can. We saw Dancing with a Fish.
Dancing with Fish.
Dancing with
Holiday
Fish.
And more in Dancing with Fish.
Yeah.
Actually, can I just clarify something? Because I realize I feel bad about saying that some of the parts in Honeymoon is Officially Over, and saying that some of it felt like filler, even after I praised her performance.
You said that was your favorite one of the first.
I know, but I feel bad because I criticized it. What I should have said is that it felt like filler because it felt like it was rushed towards the end. It felt like things get tied up in a neat little bow too quickly at the end, if I was to criticize one big thing about it. I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Yep, cool.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right, so do we want to do one more round of Enter the 36 questions?
Yeah. How long... Just what? Say it. It's
we
okay.
need a secret word, just so you know.
We need a secret word, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Secret
so
word
So if you're
is...
listening for the secret
you
word...
You sure you to the end?
No, you don't want to wait to the end. You know. Said this last time, too.
Because then people
but
just
it,
listen
but
to
we
the
waited
end.
Waited to the end.
No,
yeah,
but
pretty
we...
much. It was like 4 minutes from the end,
okay.
But we
go
may
ahead.
As well do it now.
All right, go ahead.
Nick, what's the secret word?
The secret word today is...
Butt snake.
The secret word today is butt snake.
God, it is butt snake.
It is.
So,
it's butt snake.
Email butt snake to Brittany at chimeratheater.com. That is Brittany at chimeratheater.com. And, all right, let's go to another round of Enter the 36 Questions. There it is.
Josh.
Where is my phone? There
let's
it go. Is.
This Sunday night, enter the 36 Questions.
Five?
Three.
Didn't we just do that?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
Give someone a compliment in a high-pitched voice.
That's not a question!
Nick,
it's a enter command. The 33 questions.
Yeah, 32 questions now and
slash.
Four commands.
Oh, God. Questions slash commands.
I'm just trying to think of a good compliment.
It's like truth or dare.
Yeah.
These are the dares.
Hey, Brooke! Whenever we do the brother's story at the end of the Brothers Grimm, and you come on doing your little Charlie Chaplin Littlest Tramp deal, I have to bite my lip because it almost makes me laugh. It almost makes me break every time it happens. You just do such a perfect, like, sideways walk, like, da-da-da-da-da, and he just comes on stage, and it makes me really happy.
He has a great turnout.
I think you should do ballet.
Cause well, I want to. It's you, if I work Thursday night.
You walk in second position. Like
for that entire story, yeah, you do.
Sorry, do you want me to keep going in the high-pitched voice? Oh, I think that was
pleasant. I mean, you complimented me. I'm happy. All right.
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
Oh, there's two other people in the room. Sorry. It said someone.
All right. Awkward. Get the questions ready. Right.
I'm ready. So, from this angle, it looks like
two.
Two.
Two and two.
This isn't a question, Nick.
Read it.
Choose two celebrities to be your parents. Enter the 31 questions. Five commands.
Alan Rickman.
Yes, Alan Rickman. And... Man.
That is a man. Alan Rickman. Yeah. Alan Rickman.
Rickman. And Morgan Freeman.
Oh, why you have two daddies?
Yeah. Oh, that's progressive.
Yeah.
Why?
One's black. That's very progressive.
And one's British.
Because
they were never discriminated against.
I would want
those. You know what I hate about being a black gay man? The discrimination. That's a Brooklyn Nine-Nine reference. Thank you.
I think I would want them both as my parents because I admire both of their voices.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you're big on the voice acting.
I like voices.
Those are two great ones.
Actually, Mel Blanc wouldn't be a bad uncle to have. Blanc, yeah. Did you say Blanc or Blanc?
You're like
Blanc.
Crazy.
Oh, it's Blanc. Mel Blanc. Crazy would be uncle. An awesome uncle to have, I think, too, as well.
Him and, I can't remember her. I think it's June Foray, but the woman who played, she did all the female voices on Looney Tunes, and she played Rocky on Rocky and Bullwinkle. Those as your aunt and uncle would be great.
Yeah.
God, I think my parents would be Trey and Matt. From South Park, just because that'd be interesting, and we'd have a different dog every time.
That's awesome.
Okay, Britt,
your turn.
Okay, 4, 6.
What is your biggest fear?
Oh, my biggest fear is
that you're.
I have so many. But my biggest fear is that I will settle on a career. Yeah, not relationship. I already did that.
Yeah.
Can't go back. but that I'll settle for something that has a steady paycheck, and it'll be something that I don't really like doing, but because it's consistent income, I'll just stay with it. And then, I don't know, I'm always so scared that an opportunity like that will come, and then I'll take it and then never actually do what I wanted to do.
That explains why you're in theater.
I know, right? No steady income there. Yeah. That's, I don't know. And then spiders in the dark and clowns and
spiders heights, in the dark?
To name a few.
All of those in the dark. Heights, spiders, heights and the clowns.
Dark. I feel like heights in the dark would be easier.
No.
Or I guess because you can't see
in the case
bottom.
You fall off heights, and you die.
Spider clowns. On a tightrope in the dark.
No.
What's the fear that's with essentially clowns? I've never understood. Is it just the makeup the end or? Of it.
When I was young, too young, I saw It, and that really ruined it for me. Mm. I don't like that their faces don't change.
Okay.
Because they're. Emotion.
Well, to be fair, its face did change quite a bit.
No, but I mean, when you see a clown at a carnival or a circus or something, they have, their face paint, and that's just their expression.
Smile.
Yeah, I hate it. Because I'm you're not happy. Stop it. And I get,
happy.
And it's a cliche. All of my fears are cliches, but clowns actually scare the shit out of me.
Clowns?
Shit out of me.
No, you can cuss. I don't care. Nick, do you?
I think we abandoned that, after the first podcast.
Once Andrew left.
I don't know.
After the first Bill Cosby joke.
That's, we'll find it.
Did you leave that in?
Oh, we left all of them in.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, Brooke, you.
Forward to listening to it.
Five.
Four.
Five, four.
How do you want to die?
Autoerotic asphyxiation. Next.
Like David Carradine.
Yeah. I think that's the way to go. I don't know. I want to go And I know this kind of sounds counter to a lot of people. I want to go in a way that'll give my loved ones time to come to terms with it before I go. Like, okay. I don't want to go in a car accident or something like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Like, if I die of a disease, I know that the people I care about would be like, listen. Like, they wouldn't be like, listen. They'd have time to come to terms
with
it.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You'll have time okay to write stuff down.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want it to be a shock thing where you have to process the shock before you can process the grief.
Mm-hmm. You just skip all those stages and just go right to grief. You know?
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be hard? Like, harder for... like to either as yourself or your loved ones just knowing, like, I don't know, that's kind of
having to deal with
exactly
it.
Like, and it's great that you get time, but it's at the same time
I'm like, I'm assuming I'm old at this
knowing
point,
you're like knowing when you're gonna die, it's like I don't want that, because then you're like you're building up to something that
yeah on the one hand it
I
is,
get where you're coming
yeah
from
it is as morbid as it sounds, there have been a few deaths that I've experienced where it's the feeling where it's been so prolonged, it's the feeling of, well, at least that's over. I wish it had ended.
Yeah, you don't want them to
it,
suffer,
there's a little
yeah.
it's a little bit of that which I think you're talking about, but there's also yeah. what Britt's talking about where it's just so prolonged and that's the one of the main things they're going to remember you for. I don't know, that's why I'm not that I have a say in how I die, but
yeah, no, I get it from both sides, but yeah. I wouldn't want it to be a shocking thing where people have to adjust to life without me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I have so many friends or loved ones now, but...
Mm-hmm.
Where...
Nick agrees.
Go fuck yourself, bro.
He's just like, yes, it wouldn't matter to me if you died.
Yeah. You could actually...
He's was, planning it right now. I'm honestly, super villaining.
I was honestly just absorbing what you're saying. Yeah. Lost in the thought.
Yeah.
But I would want... Yeah. to know that people had come to terms with it before I left. It's sort of a control freak thing,
mm-hmm.
where yeah. I wouldn't be okay with them having to do it on their own.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of... Although it does prolong it, you'd be able to help them with certain parts of the grieving process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. Like, I'm okay with knowing when I'm gonna... Like, you know, I'm all about scheduling.
Oh jeez, I don't.
I like
never
deadlines, guys.
Never ever.
I'm big on hard deadlines.
And death is the best deadline out there.
Yeah,
it's the greatest
high.
Motivator
it's
you'll ever have.
But I just don't want it to be like I go to sleep perfectly healthy,
and
then don't wake up, or something like that.
It's hard because like, but if you had a disease, yeah, it gives people time. But then it's also like all that time they remember you just suffering, and then they mm-hmm. almost come to the point where they're like, just. You don't have to hang on anymore. Just let go. Like, it's...
Yeah,
so,
I
let me
honestly...
tell you this. You don't... As a person that's gone through that with someone very close to me, you don't ever get to a point where you're
I
like,
know.
Oh my God, hurry up.
Mm-hmm.
It's always...
You're such a burden.
No, it's... There is that feeling of, I don't want you to suffer anymore, but it's mostly the feeling of, I have to make sure I have... It never feels like enough
time. But you'll
time.
Never have enough time.
You'll never have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
Mm-hmm.
It's just helping with, like, with my mom. It was my mom who had a disease for a year and a half before she passed away. She had enough time to set all of her affairs in order. She was a financial advisor, and she set up, like, life insurance things for all of us, my siblings and my dad. And so, like, that kind of thing, where I'd be able to make sure that everyone's taken care of when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take it down so much.
No.
Ending the podcast on a somber note. Okay,
let's blame
one.
The person who wrote
Why
that
are
question.
Doing another one?
Just another quick one, a happy one.
Should we all do? We all do a quick one?
Ah,
or?
Let's. Yeah, let's
I
go
don't
around
know where
here.
Your phone went.
Oh, it's in my pocket.
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay, quick one. Speed round.
Speed
four.
Round.
Four.
First we can.
Oh my God! First thing that comes to your head.
Six.
What is your biggest fear?
Oh, the dark. I just use the dark as a catch-all term for the unknown.
Okay.
Ooh.
Don't all right, we all.
Nick.
What is that based on?
Two.
What? Oh, I have a terrible fear of that things that cannot be explained. I, like, people do not scare me. Serial killers do not scare me. They are people, and I know them even if they are off, but I can still, they are still something that I recognize. If it's something that I don't understand, if it's a supernatural occurrence, then it instantly gets me, and I'm instantly
right.
just pants-wangly in terror.
Two.
I got two and one.
You've already done that one last time. Where, when would you go in a time machine?
Okay, you said the first page. Four and four.
Four and four and four.
Four and four. Tell a story about pizza, fictional or non-fictional.
Once upon a time, there was a pizza. I ate it, and then I pooped it out at Fatburger, and then and then I went over to the pizza shop and got another pizza, but it wasn't as good as the first one. So I
it was $50.
So I went back. So I went back to the pizza shop and was like, "Hey, what's going on with this pizza? It wasn't as good as the last one. I got the same one, but it wasn't as good as the first one that I got." And they're like, "Well, sir, we're sorry, we sold that pizza to you, and it was really old, so we just decided to get rid of it at the end."
Okay.
You do look like Russell Brand.
Five.
I'm Russell Brand.
Oh, six.
I think that's what you say to the haters.
Oh,
yep.
No. So,
you could say something.
Four.
To Andrew G. Cooper.
And two.
If you were an animal, what would your animal call sound like?
Yeah, yeah.
All
right.
Oh, I think we can all do one for Brit.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. There are my voices. Okay, your turn.
Okay.
Four.
Five.
Five.
Burst into beatbox.
Oh, perfect.
It's you.
Podcast.
Okay.
Chimera.
Thank you all for listening. I probably spiked the mic a couple times there.
Forgot about it.
All right. Sorry about that, future Nick.
Stuff your sorries in the sack.
So remember, secret word. Not going to tell you what it is, but email that to britany@chimeratheater.com and tune in next month.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Until next time, practice makes perfect,
and
Chimera makes podcasts.
We do not own that song. John Cena does.
John Cena owns it.
Okay.
Bye.